Well, today I'm going to be sharing a message that's going to be a little bit different. If you're here today, I want to apologize first and foremost for it still being Christmas at our church. Merry Christmas! I'm still preaching from the manger. We'll see when we tear that down, but it still looks nice. So preaching from the manger today, but we'll celebrate Christmas all the time because God is with us. Amen. Today, before we move into a time of communion here, after the message, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts today that I felt the Lord drawing me towards this week. And it's a little bit different, but follow me. And my heart, to be honest with you, isn't necessarily that I would have 5 points that all rhyme or begin with the same letter, although that happens sometimes, but that God's heart would really be shared today, that it would touch you and touch me and change us as we begin this year. I need to hear from God today. And I think you need to hear from God today. And that's what changes lives. I was on this study this week of the kingdom of God in the Bible. The kingdom of God. What is that? The word kingdom, capitalized kingdom, referring to kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom. And those phrases in the New Testament occurs 141 times. That's a lot. Anytime something occurs 141 times in 27 books is a lot. And we need to pay attention to that. This phrase, the kingdom of God, in Luke 8, I'm just going to highlight some quick scriptures, then we're going to turn to our main passage today. In Luke 8, it says, Luke 8:1, soon afterwards, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God, and he took his disciples with him. Here we see Jesus announced the message of what? The kingdom of God. Luke 9, it says he called his 12 disciples together. He sent them out with power to cast out demons and heal all diseases. And it says he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. Luke 9, chapter 2. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Again, the phrase, the kingdom of God. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. That was his message. He sent his disciples, you go out and declare the kingdom of God. John the Baptist, also announcing the coming of Jesus, said, repent, for what? The kingdom of God is near. We see this phrase over and over again. In Luke 9, we see some men who came to Jesus and they said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, foxes have dens, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. In other words, Jesus said, I'm homeless. Our Savior was homeless. If you've ever been homeless, Jesus knows how you feel. But moving on in the same passage, another person, well, Jesus told him, follow me. Another man said, Lord, let me go home and bury my father yet. Meaning, my dad's getting sick. I need to spend time with him. He's going to die. And something was there. It must have been a long time because Jesus said, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach. Again, the phrase, the kingdom of God. There's a sense of urgency. The man said, I want to go home, get affairs in order. Truth is, his dad probably wasn't dead. He was probably maybe had 20 years left of life. Who knows? He was just getting up there. Let me go take care of that. Jesus said, we need to go and preach the kingdom of God. Another guy says, Lord, I'll follow you. Let me go home and say goodbye to my family. Again, Jesus said, anybody who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Again, we see that phrase again, the kingdom of God, the urgency of preaching the kingdom of God. In Luke 10, Jesus tells his disciples, if you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever set before you, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near. If a town refuses to hear you, wipe the dust off your feet and say this, the kingdom of God is near. For the good and for the bad. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God, in my easy definition, is the whole package of God. It's His presence. It's His authority. It includes heaven. It's really like the whole big picture. It's the movement of God in the world. It's both here now and it's on the way. It was started with Christ, fulfilled in His death and resurrection, and also His coming again. As we celebrated with Christmas and Advent, He's coming again. Jesus said over and over again, preach, the kingdom of God is near. Go do this. Jesus preached. He told others over and over again, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. A few other interesting times. In Mark 15 and in another place, it talks about Joseph of Arimathea. Do we remember who he was? He was the rich man who, when Jesus was crucified, went and asked Pilate for his body and buried Jesus in his own tomb. Joseph of Arimathea is said he was an honored member of the high council and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Interesting that that phrase is there again. And this man who loved God enough that he was willing to risk his own life to go into Pilate's court and say, can I have the body of Jesus? They could have killed him. But he said, I can't leave my God like that. And they said, okay. And he buried Jesus in his tomb. In Acts, we see Jesus rose from the dead, Acts 1:3. During his 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to his apostles from time to time, proved in many ways he was alive, and it has this phrase, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. So Jesus was announcing it, died on a cross, rose again. In Acts, again, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Acts 28, the end of the book of Acts. Paul is in jail. It's said that over the next 2 years, he lived in Rome and he boldly proclaimed the kingdom of God. God is at work in the world. Isn't that awesome? And this message that is all through the Scripture, preach the kingdom of God, which is the whole package, man. It's God's presence. It's the abundant life of Jesus. It's heaven, both a little bit of heaven that we experience with the abundant life of Christ here, and heaven should God call us home. Should we die or Jesus return? It's all part of the kingdom of God. Paul says in Romans, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but it's a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 4, I love this verse. I highlighted this big time this week in my Bible. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It's living by God's power. Wow, isn't that awesome? Because it's a life-changing message of Jesus. It's not just a lot of talk. It's living by the power of God. That message of the kingdom of God needs to be lived in our own lives, doesn't it? That we should live with the power of God. In other words, the world shouldn't look at us and just say, you guys talk a lot. You talk about Jesus. We should live with the power of God that changes the world. We should live with God's presence. Jesus said in John 3:3, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And in Mark 9, there's this passage that we've probably heard before. The kingdom of God is so important. Jesus said this, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with two feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have two eyes to be thrown into hell where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. Jesus sets up this strong challenge. He says, the kingdom of God is here. Okay? The kingdom of God is here. I'm calling you to live righteously. If there's sin areas in your life, Jesus said, cut off your hand if your hand causes you to sin. Cut it off. What does he mean? Does he mean cut off your hand? I'm not so sure. I'm not telling you to cut off your hand. But the truth is, I think Jesus' words are strong because he means that literally hell is real forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And it really would be better to go to hell with only one hand. That I think he's saying, like, literally, if you really have to do that, then that's what you have to do. Don't sin against me. You know? Because we want to just say it's... I'm not saying cut off her hand. But I think the words are strong for a reason. I don't want to soften Jesus' words by saying it's just figurative. No, what he means is hell is a real place. And I've called you to do greater things. Knock it off. Which means if we need to, cut the cable on your TV, unplug the computer from the internet, whatever it takes, quit your job. If you're working at a job and somebody's trying to lure you away from your spouse, quit, transfer to another department, whatever you need to do. If the girl at the Wawa's coming on to you and you're a married man, or go to a different Wawa, whatever you need to do, for real. Stop drinking coffee, whatever it takes, because we need to live for the Lord, right? Now, here's how I went this direction, and our main passage is going to come up in just a second in 1 Corinthians. But I was on the Daily Journal's website. It's a local Vineland, Millville paper, and they do some things for Buna. And this is what really challenged my heart. I'm too cheap to subscribe to the paper, so I check it out online. And there's an opinion section. It says, religious rights ignored in favor of civil rights. And it says, a decision by the state of division of civil rights to allow a lesbian couple's lawsuit against the Ocean Grove Camp Meeting Association to go forward clearly illustrates the danger that gay marriage poses to religious rights. The lawsuit claims discrimination because this Methodist group would not rent its hall for a civil union celebration. So there's a lesbian couple who were doing a civil union, and they wanted to use the church social hall for their reception. The church says, I'm sorry, you can't use our social hall because we don't believe that's right. And against conscience, you know. Who paid to build the social hall? The church did, right? People's money who love God, who they probably didn't believe that was appropriate. I would just say, if you love the Lord, Scripture tells us that homosexuality isn't a good deal, right? It says it's sin. Okay, not that we hate everybody who's gay, and I don't mean that, but it's no different than drinking too much. It's no different than a whole lot of other things, right? So anyway, they said, we don't believe in this. You can't use a social hall. They decided to sue the church. They said, you have to let us use your social hall. Now, the state, New Jersey State Division, this just happened the other day. A representative in the state of New Jersey said, okay, we'll listen to this lawsuit because you might have a case in suing this church. And I thought, huh? What's the deal here? So they're going to let the lawsuit go forward. The guy who wrote this article said, this shows you the danger of gay marriage. And the problem with the term gay marriage is this. Once the word marriage is acceptable, then you can sue churches and sue pastors that say that we can't do that. It's not within my conscience. I don't agree with it. Sorry, I can't do your ceremony. Well, you have to do my ceremony or we're going to sue you. So anyway, that was in the Daily Journal, okay? So this is the world we live in. So anyway, I thought, that aggravates me. Because as a minister, I know the problems. And I heard James Dobson from Focus on the Family talk about that. Once the word marriage is acceptable, then you have to do marriage by law. Or else the government will come in, take away your tax-exempt status. Which, what does that mean? That means church, right, exactly. Because they'll say, well, you can discriminate, but we'll take away your tax-exempt status, which means this, that every church that says we won't do that, you're basically out of business because you can't afford the state to give you $5,000 a year taxes on your facility. You just can't afford to do that. Okay, so that's a big deal. Okay, I'm not saying that just to erase that issue, but that's where this article was at. The thing that disturbed me, though, and that's fine. It can go to court and hopefully the church will be okay. Because I don't think you should be able to force the church to do that. Which the church shouldn't be nasty either. But, yeah, why can't you go? But here's the thing that I want to get at today, which sets up the stuff, there are comments that people post after the articles on a Daily Journal website. And this is where I really got perturbed this week. Because there were four comments that I read, and they were all against the church. 100% of the comments. One says, renting any hall or building is a business. A business can't discriminate under the law. It's the same as if they were a black couple and the association refused them simply because they were black. Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. The Bible doesn't say being black is a sin. That's not true at all. In fact, one of the greatest honors, probably the man Simon of Cyrene, who helped carry the cross of Christ, many believe was a black man who helped Jesus. The Bible is not racist at all. That's not even true. It's a dumb argument, but that's okay, whatever. I hope the person who's listening to this, they'll hear me say they're dumb. You're not dumb. I just disagree with your argument. There we go. Because we'll put our message on the website. Somebody else wrote, Thomas Jefferson wrote that the civil rights of the minority should never be voted on by the majority. Just rent the hall, please. Just rent them the hall. The doors should be open. Oh, and he said, I find it ironic that the Methodist Church has commercials welcoming people and welcoming everyone, and that their door is always open and they're refusing to let them into their social hall. Again, I think that kind of misses the point. Door is always open, but they shouldn't have to rent their hall. Another man who goes on, I don't want to read the whole thing to you, but he says this. It's discrimination. If the church thinks discrimination is their right, then maybe we want to start taxing the churches and all their property. Again, right in there in the opinion. I think, and then he says, I think Christian churches should be held to your doctrines. Like, okay. Well, actually holding to our doctrine would be the problem. But he says, if they preach Christianity, they should really live up to what they're saying. We are, right? Live up to your doctrines, live up to what you're saying, and we are. So, and anybody else said, yeah, we're narrow-minded bigots as far as being in the church. So 4 for 4 were very negative. And you know what? Do I believe 100% of people in Vineland and Millville are that way? No, it's just the people who happen to log on, who have a membership, who actually wrote. I was going to write a response, and I thought nobody's going to listen to me. I might as well spend my time doing something different. That's just my thought with that, and I just get aggravated. And if I did write a response, it would be like 400 pages. but here's my thought with that. As we move into our main text we're going to hit this morning is this. We preach the kingdom of God, right? We preach the message that the kingdom of God is here. And yet out of those four people that thought they understood Christianity, I think they didn't understand Christianity at all. So that made me think, is it their fault that they don't understand Christianity? Yeah, I would say that probably they've been around other Christians who haven't really lived what they meant. You know what I mean? Somehow they have this skewed version of Christianity, which isn't the real deal of Christ. Somehow they've missed it because they think Christianity is about loving everybody, which, yeah, but it's about a standard too, because God called us to a standard. But somehow they missed that. I don't know. So anyway, my heart and the direction of this message is this. As a church, we need to make sure that we're living the way that God called us to live. Or else, all we're doing is helping other people who know us write the same kind of responses. That when they hear things about the church, they think the church is a waste of time, that there's no power. Unlike Paul wrote, the church isn't just a lot of talk, but it's power. The kingdom of God is about power in the Holy Spirit. They think it's just a bunch of talk. Maybe they've been around a bunch of Christians who just gave a lot of talk. And they didn't have any power. And they didn't have any love for God. Interesting, isn't it? So today I want to challenge you to live for God in 2009. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 6. 6, verse 9 through 11. 873, if you have one of our Bibles in the back. We're talking about the kingdom of God today. And I showed you evidence that our world, our local community, has a skewed view of the kingdom of God. That it's not really the kingdom of God. Well, if you're going to be a church, you ought to hold by your doctrines. Okay, well, we are. You need to really act like the people of the Bible. Okay, well, that's what we're going to try to do today. And I do believe that a lot of Christians in the world just don't do that. That we can just be wishy-washy. But, and honestly, again, as I was preparing the message, I'm actually just reading on my own. This passage stuck out to me earlier in the week. And then I felt the Lord directing me back here. So I really want you to check out these few verses today and see what they speak to us as a church. 1 Corinthians 6, again, written to the church. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. It says this, don't you realize that those, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but yours is going to be close. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy or drunkards, greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Praise you, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we dig into this morning. Writing to the church, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? What a strong challenge, again, to the church. To the church. Don't fool yourselves, Paul writes. And he lists some sins here that are big time sins. He lists sexual sin. Those who worship idols. Okay, so let's just kind of go through this. Sexual sin is a big time sin. It's a big time sin against Christ, against our own body. Why is it? Because for part of it, I think it is that if Jesus is supposed to be our first love and he's supposed to sit on the throne of our heart, as a believer, we indulge in sexual sin. We basically kicked Jesus off the throne of our heart. We made him sit on the floor and we put our own lust and we put our own desires on the throne of our heart. We gave them predominance over that. In a marriage situation, we just destroy the whole marriage, right? Outside, cheating on our spouse. And I gave this example to someone the other night when I was sharing. Just as an example, I'll just use myself in this. But say if something happened and I were to cheat on my spouse, okay? Let's just say that if that were to happen, how many people would that hurt? That would hurt a lot of people, wouldn't it? That would hurt me. That would hurt my relationship with the Lord. That would hurt my wife, big time. That would hurt my daughter, big time. That would hurt my family. That would hurt my parents. That would hurt the church as well, wouldn't it? Because it affects everybody. Paul is telling us, be careful of these sins because it will destroy you. It'll destroy the church. And that whole, none who do this will inherit the kingdom of God. That ought to scream a warning in our ears today, shouldn't it? Our whole point should be to live the message of the kingdom of God and to go to heaven and to live a good life. If you have sexual sin, what is sexual sin? Sex outside of marriage is sexual sin, right? Sex away from your spouse is sexual sin. Stop it if you have that. Paul's words are so sharp. Don't fool yourselves, he says. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on, worshiping idols. Worshipping idols, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? If there's anything else in our life that takes the place of Jesus, you will not go to heaven. you will not. You're not living for the Lord. What, how do we worship idols? Well, you might have a little statue in your house. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Probably, I don't know. Anybody have a statue? You're not going to say you do, right? You might not worship an idol like that. Some religions do. Sometimes our idols can be the television. That all we do is we put our TV as number one in our lives. For some people, your idols can be money. You live for money, right? Whatever you live for, whatever is number one sitting on the throne of your heart that's supposed to be Jesus, that's an idol. It can be money. For some people, it's your family. For some people, it can be your children. That you have to take your kids and plug them into every kind of after-school program and this and that, and yet you're not really raising them in the things of God because you want your boy to be like a star football player or whatever, right? Or you want your girl to be on the marching band or whatever, and we can miss God in that. Or you put your marriage before God. Idols. Worshipping idols. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Good question. Yeah, you know, honestly, anything that takes, we worship Christ alone. We worship Jesus alone. We pray to Jesus alone. And yeah, you have to be careful. There's so many things that can be idols in our lives that look good, and they're just taking us away from the Lord. Bobby, can you give me a glass of water, please? Committing adultery, again. Committing adultery is on the list. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does this mean? This means if this is in your life, you need to knock it off. You need to repent. We cannot have an ongoing life like this. Moving on, male prostitutes. Are female prostitutes okay? Obviously not. He says male prostitutes. Why does he say male prostitutes? I don't know. He just says male prostitutes in the text. Probably because at the time those people thought, well, that one's okay. It's just the other one that's not good. None of that is good. What is prostitution? Money for sex. I think the actual definition, though, is even bigger than that. It's compensation. Sexual favors, kind of, for compensation. As compensation for something that you receive. That's it, as compensation. So it could be like money, like we picture Atlantic City, right? Could be that. I mean, we just do. But you know what? It's not just that. Here's what it is as well. It's if they go out on a date and the guy springs for dinner in a movie and the girl feels like she needs to do certain things because the guy paid for dinner in a movie. Listen, that's prostitution. You exchanged your body for dinner and a movie. And that boyfriend who said, I love you, he doesn't really love you. He just made you prostitute yourself. Isn't that horrible? That's I'm not trying to get real graphic here today, but listen, that's prostitution. How horrible. I think of our young ladies. I think of like my daughter. Man, daddy's going to buy a gun just to clean it when boyfriends come over. I'm just going to take it apart just so I could take the parts apart and have them sit across from my desk. And say, you want to take my daughter out, huh? Look up into the light. Make sure the barrel's clean. Just to freak people out.
My brother used to answer the door with an
axe. Yeah, answer the door with an axe. Yeah. Listen. Prostitution. If you're somebody here, you buy dinner and you expect something for dinner, boy, you're going to answer to God. That's not okay. Young man or young woman, somebody wants to give you a ring or give you something, they better give you commitment and sign a license saying, I promise to be with you forever and ever. Sign your name on a dotted line. But yeah, prostitution is bigger than just what we think. We think, oh, that doesn't apply to us. Be careful. Practice homosexuality. Hey, that's in the Bible, right? Remember that whole live up to your doctrines thing? That's in Scripture. Homosexual lifestyle is a big one today. And honestly, it won't be long. I hope it never happens. But preaching from the pulpit that homosexuality is wrong could get his clothes down in the future. And you know what? So be it. We'll be meeting in your living room or my living room or something. We'll go underground because we're not going to compromise the Word. Not that we hate people who have that. Now, some Christians are just nuts. That's not true. We're not going to protest and get signs. But the truth is we have to live with what Scripture says. And regardless of what MTV tells us, that's wrong. And you know what the truth is? A lot of people today who are good people, they're being taught that they should experience with a homosexual lifestyle. And they're just people who have been treated badly, that have been lied to, and they're living a lie, and it's our job to preach the gospel to set them free. There's a lot of hopeless people who are living homosexual lives and they hate it. And it's our job to preach the message of Christ that they would come to know Him and be set free, right? And experience the grace of God. But that's in the "you will not inherit the kingdom of God" list. Let's see what else is in here. Thieves, stop stealing. Well, it's only the stapler from work, right? You know what? It's in the list. You need to be careful when we're stealing stuff. When you get too much change from Wawa and you know better and you keep it, that's stealing. That's in the list. Greedy. Are you greedy? Anybody steal the last donut today just so nobody else can have it? Right? Listen, if you're greedy, that's in the list. Drunkards. But it's okay if I go celebrate the new year and I get smashed, right? Drunkards. It's in the list. I ran across a bunch of Christian people who told me how they got slammed for New Year's. And they share Christ with people at work, you know? They act like they love Jesus. And I don't really question that they don't love Jesus, to be honest with you. I don't know their heart. I can't question that. But that's not right. But here's the thing that I do know. Other people that see their lives, they say, why do I need to live for Jesus? You're no different than me. They have no power. And this verse says, you might not get to heaven. Abusive. It's not okay to abuse your spouse, is it? It's not okay to abuse your kids. There was a young lady who at 16 years old was out of control, sleeping with boyfriend after boyfriend over and over again, trying to find love. The issue was this: as a young lady, her dad, the deacon of the church, molested her and treated her bad. And she always tried to come back to win the acceptance of her father, and it was never there. She never felt good enough, so she started looking for that in other boys and other relationships. The abuse that that father did on that child messed her up for life. She began using drugs and everything else. It was abuse in the home. Abuse is a terrible thing. That ought not happen within our church. Are you kidding? Right? As believers, that ought not happen in our church. Children are so precious. We need to hug them. We need to tell them that we love them. Abuse should not happen. What else is abuse? I think neglect is abuse. Just ignoring our children is abuse. How about with our spouse? You don't ignore your spouse. Don't physically abuse them or verbally abuse them. Do not do that. Because truth is, you can be a deacon, you can be a pastor. Paul says you might not make it into heaven. Why? Why? Because God is looking down on His throne, seeing those people who you're abusing. And it angers Him. God is looking down from heaven and He sees kids who are crying, knowing that mommy's smoking crack. And we'll just smack the kid to get out of their face. I deal with this stuff all the time. I see kids who are constantly just messed up, sexually assaulted and everything else. Do not abuse your kids. Do not abuse your kids. It's dangerous ground and God hates those who abuse their children. Cheating. Do not cheat. Right? Do not cheat. Do you understand these sins are lifestyle sins? We don't accidentally cheat on our spouse, right? It's a lifestyle thing that we've decided to open up our relationships to other people, that we hold hands at lunch or whatever steps we do to fall. We don't accidentally decide to be greedy. It's a lifestyle thing. We don't one day, oops, I abused my kids. It's a lifestyle thing. There's a big dog in the churchyard. As long as our kids aren't out there, right? There's a big dog out there. lifestyle things, be careful. Ephesians 5, if you want to just flip, we're just going to hit this one as well quickly because this is Paul, the same man, wrote the same book. Ephesians 5, verse 3. 897. Ephesians 5, verse 3. A few other things we're going to bring out. Again, you know what? If we live our lives differently, maybe people who know us won't reply to those articles like that, thinking they know what Christianity is about. Christianity, if we're abusing our kids, we treat... I've known people who were leaders in the church who treated their kids terrible and treated their wives, I mean, bad. You know, that better not be us, right? No, we want to live for God. We want to live for His kingdom. We want to live with His power. Ephesians 5:3, Paul says in another place, same kind of list, let there be no sexual immorality. Okay, same deal. Impurity. Same kind of thing. Dwelling on sexual things isn't a good deal, right? We should have pure hearts, okay? Greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories. Whoa. And we're going to get, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Trust me, that's in there. Obscene stories. As a believer, should we be sharing obscene stories? Right? No, it goes on. Foolish talk. We'll pray for some of you that talk foolishly. I'm kidding. For me, right? It's like you keep talking foolishly. You know what? And coarse jokes. These are not for you. You know what? There's just some things that should not come out of our mouths. James says, can fresh water and salt water come out of the same spring? Then why does filth come out of the same mouth that praises God? As believers, we need to live for the Lord. The things we joke about, there should be a standard. These are not for you. It says, instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. Wow. Isn't that strong? So another definition of idolatry, those who are greedy for the things of this world. And the anger of God will fall upon him. Again, written to the church. Written to the church. Why? Because Jesus loves His church so much that He died for His church. He loves the lost and wants them to come to Him in repentance. And Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by how you love me. And also, I think, how you love each other, but also how you live in power and authority, that your life is changed. And if we're living the name of Jesus, I mean, we're living like we are for Jesus, and yet we're just messing everything up. We're offending everybody who Jesus died for. And somebody who Jesus died for and wants to come to repentance, they're saying, I'm not accepting Jesus. He must not be real, because look at your life. This is serious business. One more passage and we're done, I promise you. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Same kind of deal again. Again, when we see things repeated in Scripture, it should make us pay attention, right? When we see things repeated, it should make us pay attention. Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. You have a page number?
893.
This will be it for today, but I want you to see this again. I don't want to leave things out this morning out of this passage. I do feel this is the Lord's message for today. And we need to really open our hearts that we would be different this year. I pray that none of us will be on this will not inherit the kingdom of God list. Let's go ahead and look at this. Galatians 5:16. Paul says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Again, draw closer to God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Seek His presence. And we'll be able to avoid sin. Right? You won't be as caught up, at least. Not that you'll never make a mistake. But then we'll have the power to live different lives. Verse 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Draw closer to the Spirit. He said it's like we have two big dogs within our heart fighting. Two big nasty junkyard dogs at war with each other. Who's going to win? The dog you feed. If they're equally strong, right, at war, and the war takes days, you only feed one, eventually the other one's going to starve to death, right? The one you feed is the one who wins. Feed the things of God in your life. And then you will triumph over the things of evil. If we put in garbage in our lives, we're going to get garbage out, right? Then, abuse, greed, all those things come out of our hearts because the Bible says our hearts are wickedly evil. We become those things apart from God at work in our lives, ridding us of those anger and rage issues. We become like that. All of us do. Don't think you wouldn't be. You would, because we're all selfish inside apart from Christ. That's why Jesus said, if you love each other, the world will say, wow, you must be His disciple. Because really, all we want to do on our own is love ourselves. When we want to lay down our lives and be willing to die for somebody else, Jesus said, that's completely going against the world. And that proves that you're My disciple. Because we're following the things of God. We need to be careful that if we don't fill ourselves with the things of God, we'll find ourselves becoming more and more inherently sinful. Because we're more focused about ourselves. We have two forces within us who are fighting. We need to draw to God. And when we do that, you know what? He works in our lives and He fills us with His Spirit. And it's a good thing and He helps us, right? We don't do it on our own. But we need to draw closer to God and He will draw closer to us. Look at verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Again, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, we address those things. Sorcery. What is sorcery? We haven't seen that in the other lists. Yeah, sorcery, right? Black magic, those kind of other things. What else is a sorcery? I would put in horoscopes. I would put in astrology. I would put in that reading your daily horoscope will pull you from Jesus. Why? You think, well, it's like a fortune cookie. I don't know. I read my fortune cookie when I go to the restaurant. I don't live by my fortune cookie, though. Maybe I shouldn't read my fortune cookie. We'll have to think about that theologically. I don't know. I just think of... they're funny, whatever. But who writes the horoscopes and astrology things that we don't take serious? People who do take it serious write those things. People who are seeking demonic revelation for the future. People who are into witchcraft and other things, seeking demonic revelation, putting them down in a newspaper for you to read. And you start planting these seeds in your heart. And next thing you know, instead of asking for God for the will of the future, we start getting lured by these other things. Be careful. Now, do we have people in our church who just openly practice sorcery and have a cauldron in their backyard? Maybe, I don't know. If you do, stop. But I also want to say that there's steps that are leading in that direction, and we need to watch the steps that lead in that direction. Be careful. This stuff is real in our life. Witchcraft is huge in our culture today. It's ridiculously big. You don't believe me? Turn on Disney Channel. How many sitcoms do they have about witches? How many cartoons are about witches and witchcraft? Well, they're good witches. Well, that's fine. The Bible doesn't say there's any good witches. You know, it's white magic. It's not black magic. Fine, whatever. You know what? That's in the "you will not inherit the kingdom of God" list. Be careful. Be careful with that stuff. Are we there? Yeah? Be careful. But you know what? As believers, we shouldn't even walk that road. You know what I mean? That's dangerous. Be careful. People take it so serious that on Christmas Day, I had to work my other job on Christmas Day, and I went by the tarot reader who was open on Christmas Day. The day, and I thought, why are they open? Then it dawned on me. I know why they're open. Because they don't celebrate the birth of the Messiah. Right? The astrologer doesn't celebrate the birth of the Messiah. Why would they be closed on Christmas? They're ready to read your palms, your tea leaves, look in the crystal ball, have a seance to contact your dead relatives. The Jonathan Edwards guy on TV, your dead relative, Uncle Dave, spoke. How does that stuff work out? Here's how that works out quickly, because I wasn't really planning on dwelling on this too much. How does it work out? Demons have been on the earth since the day God created them. They're fallen angels. Okay? Demons don't die and give birth and multiply. They're the same ones that's always been around. The demon who shares with the lady at the seance that Uncle Dave drove a red Chevy Nova and lived on 321 Pearl Street, it had to be Uncle Dave, because nobody would have knew that. Couldn't it have been the same demon who tormented Uncle Dave? He knew what kind of car Uncle Dave drove, because he sat in a passenger seat and tried to get him to kill himself. He knew his address, right? Don't be fooled by things. I've seen people who would say they love the Lord, but this spiritual stuff must be real. It is real, but it's demonic. How would they know Sister So-and-so had a brother that died as a baby? If it's demonic, it's there. As soon as you start seeing seance readers knowing that kind of stuff, you should be running anyway. But as soon as they know stuff like that nobody would know, man, that's demonic. It's not of God. Why? Because people cannot prophesy things of God if they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. If they haven't committed to Him. If they're not cleansed by the blood of Christ. If they're not living for God, filled with His Spirit. They're not going to prophesy those good things. Run. Even if it sounds good, run. Even if it brings closure to a relationship, that's not good. Run. Those things aren't of God. And it's a foothold the devil can have in your heart. And that's on the "you will not inherit the kingdom of God" list. Why? Because that will take Jesus off of His throne. And you will be seeking the spiritual experience outside of Jesus. And you know what? They never end. That's the thing with these kind of spiritual experiences. They lead you to another spiritual experience. That leads you to another spiritual experience. And before you know it, you're going to be at the end of your life and all you did was follow after another empty hole. Another experience, you saw it, another thing, and the devil just tied you up for your entire life and never let you free and promised the carrot, but instead he had it on a stick over your head, dangling it, and no matter how much you could reach, you can never find fulfillment. Because that fulfillment's in Christ. It's not in spiritual advisors. Be careful. Be careful. Astrology, be careful. Black magic, witchcraft, all over, be careful. And be careful with your children watching those kind of things too. It shapes them. It really does. It can be a funny show where they're lovable witches. My daughter's not watching them. Because I will not buy my daughter a witchcraft book, which you can buy at any store relatively easily. Because it's been accepted today. Be careful with that stuff. Moving on. And we're going to be wrapping up in just a second. Hostility. Get your anger under control. Get your anger under control. Quarreling. Again, jealousy. The only person who's allowed to be jealous is who? God. The Bible says our God is a jealous God. He's a consuming fire. He's jealous for our attention. We are not to be envious of each other. Right? Be careful. Because when we want other things more, we want God less. Outbursts of anger. It's not because you're German or you're Jewish or you're Italian. Or like me, you don't know who you are, so you're just mad because you don't know. You know what I mean? It's not your upbringing. It's not your nationality. It's not because you were born with one dad, two dads, one mom, no mom, single mom, grew up in an orphanage. All those things are fine, but listen, if you grew up in a perfect family, whatever, outbursts of anger aren't good. We need to check that in place. Don't be a believer who says, if you work my hours, you would be mad too. No. No. It's not okay. And Paul says it's not okay. Get yourself under control. Cry out to Jesus and He will help. Selfish ambition. Trying to make yourself, to put yourself above everybody else. And I think of that as stepping on the little people to get yourself to the top. That happens. But that should not happen among believers, should it? That's on the list. Divisions, causing divisions. Also, dissension. Gossip and causing divisions should not happen in our families. It should not happen in the church. That's happened too many times in other churches. I won't let it happen here. I'm serious. I've said this before. If I catch gossip in our church, I will confront you. I will not allow it to happen. Why? Because it'll split our church in half and we'll just be done. I will not let it happen though. I'll get you mad at me and you can leave. And you know what? Honestly, not that I want you to leave, but we trust the Lord to bring other people in your place if your heart is to destroy our church and to make yourself look good. Because that's not godly. Amen?
Amen?
That's happened too many times in other churches. That will not happen here if there's anything I can do about that. Because I love Jesus. And I know He wants to deliver people. And I know He wants to set people free. And if we're tangled up in our own mess, we're not going to be the light that He's called us to be. Moving on, envy. If you have an envious heart, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. Do not be envious of other people. So many times we can be envious of those who are going to hell. Oh, they have the big house. They have the nice car. They seem like they have the perfect life. Truth is, you don't know. But even if they probably don't have as good as you think, but even if they did, they're going to stand before God. Don't be envious of them. Even other believers, though, even if they love Jesus, don't be envious of other people. Cry out to God and help Him to just be happy with what you have, right? Cry out to Him. Listen, if that's a problem with envy, I'm not telling you to just stop being envious. I'm telling you to cry out to God and He will help you with that. Moving on, drunkenness. There's no excuse for drunkenness in the body of Christ. Wild parties. Not good, right? Can we not have a party? You can have a party, but you know what He's saying. You know what He's saying. Your King James actually translates that a little bit different. So you can go ahead and I'm not going to address that at this time, but you can look that up. Not a good thing that the church did at the time that they were participating in. Stuff happens, though. Getting together, smoking weed, not a good thing for the body of Christ. Moving on, almost done. And other sins like these, Paul puts that on there, and other things, because you'll have people today who will say, you know what? But my sin's not on the list. And other sins like these, you know, because the Holy Spirit is within you and you know what's right. Let me tell you again, he says, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's where we're going to turn positive and we're going to close in just a second. We don't have to live lives by ourselves. Isn't that the good news of the gospel message? That the kingdom of God is here? Today, it's not just about a list of things you can't do. It's about God is real. He wants to work in your life and He wants to change you. And He wants you to live for Him. Quickly, But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. Feed the Holy Spirit and this is what happens in your life. Not sorcery, hostility, lust, immorality, impurity, dissension, drunkenness, wild parties, envy, jealousy, rage. Not those things. This is what the Holy Spirit produces. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. God wants to work in your life. Who doesn't want peace in your life? Draw closer to Jesus and He will help you. What if you suffer with rage, man? You just have these anger issues. Am I saying that you're doomed forever and there's no hope? No, I'm saying call out to God. I'm saying if we stand before God with those issues, it's in the "you will not inherit the kingdom of God" list. I'm warning you today. We need to check that at the door. We can't go on and saying, "I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, but I still punch my wife, I abuse my kids, I get drunk, and it's okay." It's not okay. It's not okay. And we need to get serious with God. Draw to Him kindness, faithfulness. Do you want your spouse to be faithful to you? Who doesn't? Draw closer to Jesus. Do you want to be faithful to your spouse? Draw closer to Jesus. Help your spouse grow in the things of God. Gentleness, self-control. I need self-control. Who doesn't need self-control? Draw closer to Jesus and He will help you. I just want to read these last two verses and we're going to close. Three verses. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. How can we deal with our sin? They've been nailed to the cross of Christ. They've been crucified. Verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Don't compartmentalize your life. Don't say, this is my Sunday morning version of me. This is my Monday morning version. This is my Friday and Saturday night version. We need to let the Spirit of God go through every part of our lives, it says. And let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. If we seek God, listen, He will change our lives. Back to that article. Those four people, they don't have good examples of Bible-believing people who hold to real Bible doctrine, right? Who are loving, who are giving. They don't have that. They see people who are just about themselves, who are about a lot of talk and no power. I need God's power in my life to live for Him. Do you need His power today? Do you need His power? It says the kingdom of God is not about a lot of talk. I know I've talked a lot today. Sorry about that. That's not what the kingdom of God is about, though. It's about power to live. Call out to Him and He will help us live. It's not just saying things and living the wrong way. Jesus is real. His blood was real. His presence was real. The kingdom of God is moving in the world. The presence of God here today in this church, moving forward, but also for all eternity in heaven. The kingdom of God is moving forward and we need to move with God. May we not be so stubborn to say, God, we'll take You by name. We'll wear the t-shirt. We might even put the bumper sticker on the car, but I'm not giving You Saturday night. May we not be that way. May we be instead, God, I give You all of me. My rage, I give that to You. My lusts, I give that to You. My envy, I give that to You. My hostility, my hurt, my bitterness from other people, I give that to You. And the Lord will flood us with all those good things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It'll be evident in our lives. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together at this time. And I'm just going to ask you this question today. If you don't know Jesus, listen, you need to ask Him to come into your heart. You need to repent of your sins. You know what? This is all about repentance today. So many times it has been preached that all we need to do is believe in Jesus. Have mental assent, like, I believe You are really here and You walked around and then You're going to heaven. The Bible speaks of confession of sin. that we come to God. God has this list of wrongs and we confess them to God. We say, God, your list is right. I have committed adultery. I have lied. I have cheated. I have stolen. I have been angry to people who I should not have been angry with. I have sinned. We need to confess our sins to God. We need to get real with Him. We need to agree with Him. And the other word, which is vitally important, and maybe you've never heard this before, is repent. We have to repent of our sins, the Bible says. Meaning we stop walking in sin and we turn around and walk the other direction. We cannot be a believer and do all these things and these will not inherit the kingdom of God lists. If you're here today and you have that kind of sin in your life, I'm asking you to confess that to the Lord and repent of your sins. Do all you can that you will not walk in that direction again. And when you do that, He will forgive you. Ask Him to help you and He will help you. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit and He will do that and help you live the life He's called you to live. If today you choose to not, I just want you to know that you've been warned that if you continue to live in a life contrary to God, you might not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not the judge. Don't be fooled today. Live for Jesus. It's a real thing. If you're here and you've never received Christ, you've never asked Him to come into your heart, I'm going to give you a second. We're out of time, so this is going to be quick. If you're here and you've never received Christ, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand for a second. I want to pray with you today. If you've never received Him as your Savior, just put it up and put it down. I want to pray for you today. You've never committed your life to Christ. Okay, but anyone here today? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else today? Amen. If you're here today, I want you to pray this prayer of commitment to the Lord with me. It's not in the words, but it's with your heart. Call out to Him and say, Dear Jesus, I ask You to forgive me of my sin. You see this list of sin. Forgive me. And help me to repent of this sin. To change my life. To walk away from evil. And walk towards my God and my King. Fill me with Your power that I might have power to live. Thank You for saving me. I believe in Your death and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here today, there's one more thing before we go, and it's this. With every head bowed before we go, we're going to do communion, and that's in just a second. But listen, if we're here and you need to recommit your life to Christ, I want to give you that opportunity today. I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you're here and you've committed your life to Christ, but you say in 2009, pray for me, Pastor, that I will live for God. If you're here and you need to make you just need me to pray for you, that God will help and encourage you in His things and that you will live faithful to Him, I'm going to ask you just to take a stand where you are. I'm not asking you to confess your sins, but I'm asking you to confess them to God, but I'm asking you to stand where you are at this time, and I just want to pray with you. If you're saying, I will make a stand for God, go ahead. Don't worry about who's around you. I think it's important to take a stand for Christ regardless. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, pray for me that I will live a better life this year, filled with God's presence this morning. Hallelujah. Just as a sign of faith and surrender to Him, I ask you to do that today. We're going to pray. Jesus, I pray for my family and friends here, particularly those who take a stand today, who say that they do not want their lives to be like the other believers who fall short, who continually sin, but they want to be used by You, filled with Your power and glory, and live a life that's faithful, and live a life that's different, the life that You've called them to live. Today, I pray for Your empowerment and Your glory, God, to help them to live for You. In Jesus' name, we pray that You would fill them with Your Spirit, God. We can't do this in our own strength, and I'm glad that You don't ask us to live on our own strength. You ask us to cry out to You and ask for Your anointing and power, and You fill us with that, Lord. Today we cry out for Your power to live. Your power to live. To be set free from anger, I pray today, Lord. To be set free from lust, we pray for Your power today, that the devil would not have that stronghold. For those dabbling with sorcery, that those things have gripped their heart, I pray for freedom, that You would break the chains of sorcery. Those with anger, Lord, help them, Lord, break that chain. For those who abuse their spouse or their children, Lord, break that. For those who neglect their spouse and their children, Lord, break that today. If they don't realize it, Lord, show them that today, God, that they would live a different life. We pray in Jesus' name. Those with drunkenness, God, I pray that You would set them free, that lives would be different, we pray. For Your power and Your glory, that You would change us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.